Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mindshifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Happy Thursday. Welcome to Mindshifters Radio. I'm Michelle Pichet, and I'm here today with Dr. Michael Rice. We are broadcasting live from Heartland, a love vortex nestled in the Ozark Mountains. We warmly welcome you to the show, and thank you for choosing to be with us. Today is September 4th, 2014. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk with Dr. Rice. We encourage you to call in with your comments or questions, allowing you to actively strengthen and deepen your practice. Now, let's welcome Michael in the process of learning and experiencing forgiveness.
Well, hello, Michelle. Am I on?
Well, Dr. Tim, you are on, and I apologize that I did not recognize that you were going to be hosting today. Oh, that Michael wasn't. Excuse me. I guess he's still teaching in the Heartland Center.
They have asked me to carry the torch yet again today, and perhaps even tomorrow, depending upon how things go. So welcome. Thanks for being here. This is Mindshifters Radio, where we're delighted to be able to share tools about the ancient art of forgiveness. And not just share them, but then to be able to be on the radio 5 days a week to support people with their questions, their comments, to hear about successes. So we invite you to call in, as Michelle just said, and let us know if you've tried a worksheet, if you've got questions about what is different between pardoning someone and using the process of forgiveness on your own internal realities. Because that's what this show is about. It's a show to support people using the tools that Dr. Rice and Jeannie make available on their website. And we have a host of tools available at www.whyagain.org. Whyagain.org. The primary tool is the tool of referred to on the website as the Reality Management Stress Management Worksheet. And it's a tool for me to go inside myself and correct anything inside of me that produces anger or fear or sadness or hurt. It's a tool that allows me to restore my conscious awareness to my true nature as love. And the more I use it, the more that becomes a habit. And the more that becomes a habit, the more I change my experience of life in the moment. One of the good things about being in a body and living on this planet is that even though we're not taught the truth of it, we as individual people have the infinite capacity to choose the focus of our conscious awareness in each moment. And what we choose to focus our conscious awareness on in each moment literally creates our experience of life in that moment. So if you would rather have a more loving, a more joy-filled, a more creative, a more energetic life, these tools will help you shift the focus of your conscious awareness to your true nature as the energy of love. And they will help you remove whatever doesn't belong in your system, which actually degrades your mind and body energy system. And as that happens, the template for a healthy, loving, creative, high-energy life begins to express through you. This creative force is trying to express through all of us all the time. And the only thing that keeps it from expressing are these overlays of energies that don't belong there. And the energies may come from past generations. They may come from events that happened earlier in my life. Last week we had a situation on the show, last Wednesday, where in a discussion with Michael, I had something triggered in me that related to a traumatic incident when I was 14 years old. As I use the tool of forgiveness and I remove my thoughts, my judgments against myself, my negative judgments against others, the negative energy that was stuck in my solar plexus, my breathing got restored, my vision, my ability to see things more clearly was with more balance was restored, and I get a chance to heal. I don't have to work at healing. Healing will happen if I do the work of removing whatever doesn't belong in my system. So that's what we're here to talk about. That's what we're here to support people in. And the number is 646-200-4169. And if you call that number and press 1, it'll put your hand up and let Michelle know that you have a question or a comment. And we'd love to hear your questions. There have been a lot of, I would say, juicy topics in the past few days. So let's see if there's anybody with a hand up or a question from anybody in the chat room. Michelle?
Not right now, Dr. Tim. There a lot of the callers who normally are on the board here, I think, are still in class, and chat room has a few guests. I'll invite them to type any questions, comments, concerns, and I will be their voice to share them with you.
All right. Well,
they're listening.
Okay. Well, I'll just talk about.
Oh, wait,
Dr.
Tim.
Go ahead.
We actually do have a caller. You know, actually, this is Patsy, and she had had her hand up earlier in the week, and we just didn't have enough time, so thank you for calling back, Patsy.
Well, thank you, Michelle. I was going to ask a question. I was on the listening, and I think it was Tuesday, and the lady from California talked. And one of the things that she said several times as she was talking was that I don't believe that there are any coincidences. And I did not hear Michael elaborate on that. There was so much to talk about in that particular conversation. But my question is, would you elaborate on that? Dr. Tim.
on the observation that there are no coincidences?
Yes, that the caller on Wednesday used in her conversation, but no, you know, it wasn't picked up on, or because there was so much to talk about. But I was just wondering if that could be elaborated on.
Okay. Well, I'll talk a little bit about it from my perspective. I'm not talking about this as an expert, but as a human being and my experience.
Okay.
And bringing in things like quotes from some of the best minds we've had access to in recent decades, quotes like Albert Einstein saying that when you go to look at what we've heretofore called matter, we've been in error, because what we've heretofore called matter is energy, energy which has been so slowed in its vibration or movement as to become perceptible to the senses. There is no matter. And then in another quote he says, if you think you are separate or separated from anyone or anything, you're living in an optical delusion. That's only possible for you to believe because your eyes cannot see the high rate of frequency vibration that is the energy that connects all things. And you can't even see the energy in the chair you're sitting on. To you, it appears as a hunk of matter. But we know from hard science that it's just a hunk of energy. And I think it was Max Planck who said something to the effect when he was getting the Nobel Prize that as a person who has studied matter his entire life, he can tell you it doesn't exist. What we call matter is a frequency of energy nested within a larger frequency of energy, a larger frequency of energy nested one within the other within another. Everything is energy. So if everything is energy, and if there's only one mind, because the mind we're using to perceive this is an energy system, and if all energy systems are connected, then it seems ridiculous to think that there are coincidences. If everything is connected, you know, there's a children's book about the butterfly flapping its wings in a jungle somewhere in the southern hemisphere. And that somehow is connected to a tsunami that hits on the other side of the world. If everything is connected, if we talk about these shows we see where there's a drought in California right now, or there's a drought in the desert and the animals are trying to find watering holes and they're dying, and we say, oh, this is so horrible, this is tragic. Well, from a bigger perspective, the earth, Mother Nature, the world, needs that water in another part. And the absence of water in one part is feeding and nourishing another part. And the whole goes on in this larger connection that we don't see if we have a special affection for one or two or three or five people closest to us or things closest to us. And Einstein says, that affection that we have, that special affection we have for the people and things closest to us, literally creates a prison for us. And it's a prison that makes us think we have to be in an association or close proximity to those people in order to be happy. And our job must be to extend that special feeling of love, not just to the few people or things closest to us, but to everyone and everything in the world and in nature. And that's how we free ourselves from the prison. So one of the things that Michael Rice did one of the first times he came into town 12 years ago or so, he did a lecture and he said, I'd like to have everybody in the room think about some of the worst things that have happened to you in your life. And then, after everybody quit groaning, he said, you don't have to tell anybody anything about any of these horrible things. But now pick something and focus your attention on one thing that happened in your life that when it happened you thought it was a tragedy, you thought it was the worst thing ever, and the only stipulation is that it was 5 years or more in the past. And so people thought for a moment or two, and he said, have you got it? And they said, yes. And he said, now, raise your hand if you can see how some of the best things in your life today are directly or indirectly related to this thing you thought was the worst possible thing that ever happened. And when he said that, every hand in the room went up. And when that happened, it was like a bomb went off in my head psychologically. And I had this impression that didn't really have good words on it, but I remember thinking, I don't want to wait 5 years. And a couple days later, I woke up and I realized what that meant. It meant I needed to start a daily practice to pay attention to my upset. Whenever I got upset about anything that didn't go the way I wanted it to go during the day, and I needed to start, take a time out, take a few deep breaths, and then just ask a series of questions like, I wonder how this is going to turn out for the best. I wonder how this has a blessing in it. I wonder how this contains something I need to learn, a lesson I need to learn to move to the next level of my life. And I've been doing that practice almost every day for the past 10 years or more, and it has transformed the quality of my life for the better in ways words can't describe. And one of the ways is that I spend a lot less time in anger and frustration, because as soon as I realize I'm getting angry or frustrated, I call time out, take a few deep breaths, start asking those gentle observation questions of, I wonder how this is going to work out, even though I have no idea how. And the second way it's transformed my life is I have seen more little miracles, little coincidences, if you want to call them that, little connections and things than I ever did before. And if I'm not stuck in anger and frustration because life unfolded in front of me in a different way than I had planned for it today, I keep my eyes open, I stay in a loving space, and I see all kinds of possibilities, connections, relationships. I think I talked about one yesterday on the show. I went to the coffee shop. Maybe I didn't. And somebody pulled up next to me and raced in, and I thought, oh boy, they're going to be ahead of me, and sometimes the coffee people are slow, and I'm going to be late for my meeting, and it's going to be hurried. And then I just said, okay, breathe, relax, it's all going to be fine. I took my time, I got out. Turns out this person is somebody I know very lightly, but I knew his first name, and I said, how are you? He said, oh, not so good. My dad died a little over a week ago, and it ended up being a perfect place for me to share on saying goodbye to good people without saying goodbye to good memories. And it did make me a little later to get to the office, and it did leave me wondering, how am I going to get this caught up and that caught up a few different times in the day? But I just kept saying, well, you know, I've got a little extra pressure building up in me right now because of this, but it was this blessing to be able to share with this person. So I don't know if that helps you, but that's how I look at these things. I look at them as though the puny little mind I have, and, you know, some people get upset when I say that because they say, you're really smart, Dr. Hayes, you have a doctorate. And I say, you know what, I'm not putting myself down when I say I have a puny little mind. I'm saying that in relationship to what is needed to keep my heart pumping and my food digesting, my conscious logical mind is a child's play toy. I don't have any idea how this world system works energetically. I don't know how the stars keep shining and the planets revolving and life evolving. So I'm not putting myself down saying I'm not smart when I say my puny little mind. I'm just recognizing the limitations of my logical carbon-based mind to understand the complexities of this infinite energy universe that we're inhabiting. So inside that system, I have been training myself over the past 10 or 12 years to just assume that whatever happens, even when, or especially when it goes against my well-laid plans, is probably a good thing. I won't see that if I go into anger and frustration and I fight against it, but I see much more of it when I breathe and relax and say, I don't know how, I just know it's all going to work out, because it always has in the past. That would be what I offer in answer to your question, Kathy.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I think that I can see that in the realm of my life and certainly with what you're saying and so forth. I guess it's harder for me to say that when I turn on the news and see things that are so, you know, disastrous in parts of the world, and I think, you know, is this supposed to be, you know? And so I think that on that level, it's harder for me to see what you're saying. But
okay, well, this is what I say to people about that, and I've been telling people this for decades, even before I encountered Dr. Rice's work. I would say, turn off what you're calling the news. It's not the news. If you had every bit of news from the town and the county that you live in, all the bad, horrible things, all the child sexual abuse, all the domestic violence, all the drunk driving, all the neutral things, all the people who went to work, drove their cars according to the law, never hit anybody, got there, did a good day's work, got their pay and went home. All the great news, all the high school students starting nonprofits, all the people next door to the house that burned down and on that block who rallied and brought food and clothes to that family. If you knew everything that was going on in the town you live in, you would be exhilarated, even in the face of a, quote, disaster, unquote. There's a reason your eyes can only see so far and your ears can only hear so far. Because you have a limit to what you can take an active, proactive action to help with. And when you turn on what this is, a so-called news, what you're turning on is a publicity machine that is designed with nothing else in mind than to keep you watching it so they can charge more for higher ratings. Because they have higher ratings, they can charge more for their advertising. And they're going to bring you the worst, the most disastrous, the most violent, the most spectacular, the most bizarre occurrences from around the globe, with the occasional human interest story thrown in. They call them human interest stories. And if you sit and flood your mind with negative thoughts, you're going to begin to feel negative feelings. Because your feelings are the shadows of your thought. If you choose loving thoughts, you feel loving feelings. You choose happy thoughts, you feel happy feelings. You choose frustrated thoughts, you feel frustrated feelings. Here's another level at which Dr. Rice, I've heard him talk about this. If you're watching the so-called news and you hear about an event in Syria, there's a town that's being ransacked and attacked by rebels and or the government, and children are being slaughtered or their parents are slaughtered and the children are homeless. And you, from a space of love, from a space of connectedness, realizing we're all connected and there's far more good going on in this world than there is negative, the proof of that is the world is still here. If the only thing that was going on in the world is what you see in the news, all those horrible things, this world would have ground to a halt decades ago. But it doesn't grind to a halt because loving people are there like you who look at this and they're moved to compassion. Now, if you can move out of the fear and out of the anger into love and compassion, if you're sitting there watching a story about the place in Aleppo and you're moved to start a nonprofit, coordinate donations, and deliver them to the children or start an orphanage for people, for the children in Syria, good, if you're doing it from a loving space. But if you're doing it out of anger for the Syrian government or anger for the rebels or anger for the American government who isn't helping enough, all you're going to do is add negative energy, which is a choice, to the field of energy that we all live in. So this isn't a call for doing nothing, staying at home, board up your doors and windows, and don't turn on the news and just sit there and eat bonbons or whatever you like to eat and numb yourself out. This is not a call for that. When I tell people turn off the news, I also tell them go get involved in your community. Go reach out, volunteer at the library, volunteer at a school. Find out what's happening in your area. Every area has people, professionals, individuals, lay people, churches, starting ministry, starting programs to reach out and help people in a loving way. Get involved in that when you turn off what you refer to as the news. And you'll find, if you're like most people, I think you'll find your life is better. You feel more a sense of personal agency and ability to help. You'll feel more gratified. You'll start to understand that the world is still going around because it's not just the garbage that they show you on the quote news, unquote. That would be my offering.
I couldn't agree more. Yes, it is very true about being involved in your community. Thank you.
Is there anything else we can chat with you about or answer for you?
No, thank you, though, and I will let someone else call in. Thank you.
You're entirely welcome.
Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you, Michelle.
Dr. Tim?
So, do we have anybody else with a question?
Yeah, we do. I wanted to comment that you asked before you were starting your story about being at the coffee shop whether you had shared it yet, and I wanted to let you know absolutely you did, because yesterday when you mentioned coffee, I kind of went unconscious and I didn't hear much after that for a couple minutes. And so you brought up the coffee shop again, and I was able to hang with it much better this time, but I guarantee you talked about coffee.
All right. Glad to be able to repeat the story.
No, it was just that you actually refined and expanded on the story, but... coffee is an addiction, and the absence of it while being at Heartland is something to bump up against. So just wanted to share that piece. Julie from Ashland, Oregon is on the phone here, and so let's say hello to her.
Hi, how are you both?
Hi.
Good.
Well, listen, Michelle and Julie,
mm-hmm.
Let me just interrupt. The mention of the name Julie triggers that yesterday or today when I was driving, I thought, I'd like to ask Julie Haverstick to refresh my memory about a piece of talking she did, a way to conceptualize the worksheet as having a level of reverence to it, blessing to it. Anyway, I just want to put that out there. Maybe Julie can call in. And now that I've said it out loud, I'll probably remember to pick it up later. So, Julie from Ashland, how are you? How can mm-hmm. we support you today?
Hi there. Thank you. Well, I just want you to know I heard the show last Thursday. I didn't hear the show Wednesday, and so I heard you and Michael processing, and that was amazing and so valuable. And I just think... I definitely want to hear what happened on Wednesday, but it doesn't matter. I got the gist of that bullying thing, and it resonated with me, and so I was able to clear some things, too, with you, and I just appreciate the amazing willingness that you have to demonstrate what Michael was able to, be supportive of. And I know it was hard. Well, especially the part about being mocked and made fun of and laughed at. I hate that. I cringe. And so I resonated with it. It happened to me too. And yet, it released for all of us because you were so willing, Dr. Tim, and I just want you to know how much I appreciate you in general. You're really an awesome element and addition to the wholeness of our spiritual family here. So thank you.
Well, you're very welcome. Thank you for mentioning that. As long as we're mentioning it again in this show, I would recommend that anybody who wants a full picture of what we're talking about, they go back and listen to last Wednesday's show, last Thursday's show, and last Friday's show. At the very least, the first half of last Friday's show. And this will give a picture of an interaction between Michael and myself, or me, and my getting triggered on Wednesday, my doing a worksheet on it before the show on Thursday, my processing before the show, and then talking about the worksheet on the show Thursday, and then reconnecting on Friday to review and to hear Michael talk about worksheets that he did from stuff that got triggered for him on Thursday, and to get some input from Dale Allen Hoffman about the need to be able to stand in the presence of the pain or the heat or the fire that I feel whenever I bump into something from my unconscious, whenever I bump into something that I've been denying and suppressing. And the short version of that is that in the ancient teachings, that was called the light, the fire, the infinite presence. And as it got distorted over time, it was referred to as hellfire and a bad thing and a thing to be avoided. And if we go to avoid that heat, then we deny and suppress the things that we absolutely need to look at if we are to be liberated from their influence. So last Wednesday, last Thursday, and at least half of Friday's show will hold answers to questions people might have about what we're referring to here.
Yeah, that should be archived, I think, somehow. It's really beautiful. And you know, when Michael is in his mode during the summer of doing his intensive work, it's he lives it, as do all the participants, as do all of us that are not in the workshops, because it ripples out. And so the levels that we get to and the kind of work and depth that's available to us to take the opportunity of, it's so incredible. So thank you for, you know, your piece, your huge piece. So how are you doing now with all that? You sound good.
Well, I'm well. I began some of the symptoms of a healing crisis exactly 7 days after getting triggered with Michael and doing the worksheet last Thursday. So I had a little sore throat a couple nights ago and a little headache yesterday, but I'm doing flushing of sinuses and pushing fluids and doing worksheets on any frustration that comes up with it, and I'm doing quite well.
Wow. You're so
responsible. And I went back and I listened to the shows and literally forced myself to transcribe what Michael had said and what I had said so that I could reread it in a space where I wasn't as triggered,
mm-hmm.
and allow it to trigger anything else that needed to be triggered and do the more worksheets that needed to be done. And so I'm feeling quite complete with that for now.
Oh, that's so great. And what great time you spend on the work, you know, if I kind of combine that with what you said today about listening to the news, I mean, the news inside us is a really current event, isn't it? So great that you do that.
Yeah, I think one of the best things that's happened to me through my exposure to work like Guy Findlay in The Way of Mastery and Michael Rice's work is, and Krishnamurti's work, is carving out the time to actually tune into the still small voice within and to make it a daily practice multiple times a day to just ask for help. It doesn't matter what name I give that helping agent, as long as I'm not using my conscious logical mind to sort it out, and as long as I don't follow the tendency to judge whatever comes up when I ask for assistance, I end up, over time, I have been more and more connected with that still small voice. And as you say, there's that guide within us that's going to provide the news we need in the moment if we just slow down and ask it.
Yeah. So here's mine. Is there time? Are there any other callers? I'll be brief.
Yeah, there is, Julie, but go ahead.
Okay, well, I'm dealing with ants in my home, and I've gone through hostility and fear and overwhelm and helpless, and I'm getting to be more neutral with it and just learning the nature of ants and that they're basically just hungry, looking for food and looking for where they're going to be for the winter. And so still, though, there are lessons in there for me, and I'm sure they'll go where I want them to go or away when I really get my lesson. And do you do things like that, too, where you take something kind of physical happening and work a worksheet on it? I'm wondering if other people do that, and it seems to be necessary when it's necessary, I guess. There's something that I'm not looking at, so it gets to that level of it's really in my face, you know? I think that's what it is. I've been holding back anger quite a bit.
Well, that's the part of what we were just talking about. If you make a daily practice of asking the still small voice, then every time you have a physical ache or pain or ailment come up, you start asking, what's the message in this for me? You start looking at what practices have I been engaged in that aren't so healthy. One of the things that I found out a number of years ago was that if I have my fear triggered to a significant level and I have it unconscious, I'm trying to just power through it, my psoas muscle on the right side will go into spasm and pull my hip up out of alignment, and I won't be able to walk easily. I'll be bent over, and I'll say my low back went out. And I do some energy work, and I do worksheets, and I uncover the fear, the unconscious fear, and the back releases.
Yeah.
Now, I went for years with that low back pain, going from one chiropractor to one physical therapist to orthopedic surgeon to another, and they all said the same thing. You just have to keep doing this stuff. You just have to, every time it goes out, you've got to go through this lengthy process, get off your feet, ice it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And when I finally encountered this energy work and the neuroemotional technique, my hip went out, and I went to my chiropractor who taught me the neuroemotional technique, and he adjusted it, and that was the first time that my hip didn't stay back in place. And over that night, I couldn't sleep. I went back to him the next morning in a crisis, and I said, it's out again. He said, wow, it sure is. He put it back in place, and before he let me get off the table, he tested this energy system work, and he said, wow, there's a big emotional component, and we discovered the emotional component had to do with fear, and when I made it conscious what it was I was afraid of, I felt a shiver go through my entire body, like having ice water poured over my head in the middle of a hot summer day, and I felt the psoas muscle release and the hip go back into place. And that held for a good 3 or 4 years, and when the hip went out again, I went back to him and I said, let's do the NET, let's do the emotional energy work on this. We found it again, we released it again, and within a day or two, all the discomfort was gone. Now, prior to that, an event like that would have had me in agony and doing extra treatments and reworking my lifestyle for at least 3 weeks, if not a month or two, when my, quote, back would go out. And so since then, every time I have a twitch in my low back or my hip has some pain, I start doing some worksheets. I do the EFT tapping. I go find my partner and have her do the NET on me. I do more worksheets. And it goes away in a matter of a day or two.
That's so great.
So the key is, and with Dr. Sarno's work, he talks about this. He's a surgeon who used to do back surgery, and his success rate with a scalpel was somewhere about 25% in terms of complete pain reduction and increased motion. And when he found out that when they studied thousands of scans of people's spines, and they found curvature of the spine, arthritis, bulging disc, herniated disc, degenerative arthritis in the spinal. And they interviewed the people who all had all of these conditions, and they found out that 65% of the people who have a bulging disc, a, quote, pinched nerve, arthritis, the vertebra out of alignment, et cetera, 65% of them had no discomfort. And he woke up and he said, well, that's crazy. If these 65% of the people who have this and we see it on their scans have no discomfort, then the 35% of the people that say they have all of this pain, the pain can't be coming from the pinched nerve, the arthritis, the curvature of the spine, the bulging disc, the herniated disc, et cetera. So he began working with the connection between the mind and the body, and he says one of the things we need to do is literally stop doing all of the icing, all of the stretching, all of the things that reinforce in our mind that the pain is coming from a physical cause. So go see the medical doctor and make sure that you don't have, you know, a fractured vertebra or a ruptured disc where parts of it are impinging on a nerve. But when you get the clearance from the medical doctor and then you've got all of this discomfort, don't go into weeks of icing and immobility and alternate heat and ice and stretching. Start talking to your body and recognizing there's probably a huge emotional component, and there may be a message for you. And it probably has something to do with unconscious rage. So, I hope that is helpful.
That's so helpful and so clear. I just love you. I love you, Dr. Tim, and I love your grasp of all of these things and how you've tried them and you know they're true. You have such a wealth of information that you've integrated. And just sharing what's going on in your life really teaches. So thank you for that courage and willingness.
Well, you're most welcome and deserving. And thank you for being on the team and calling in. And let's see if Michelle has another hand up.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, blessings.
Thanks, Julie. So, yeah, Dr. Tim, we've got another hand up. It's Joanna, and Joanna is from Hollister, Missouri. She was here with us on Monday. Hey, Joanna.
Hey, Michelle.
How are you?
I want to make this into a... I want to, since it's a radio show, I want it to blend in and blend in with what the conversation is. I have to, for the radio audience, let them know a little bit about me as I begin this short conversation. I've gotten to live in this body that I live in for 84 years. I have been through an incurable cancer, renal cell carcinoma, And I have been to a place in my life on two occasions where I could not walk. I could only crawl. And my life has not been picture perfect in any way, shape, or form. I have not lived in the dynamics of the box, and life has not unfolded that way. And when I came to Hollister, Missouri, never knowing that I would run into Michael Rice again in my life, because Michael says we've known each other 20 years. I say 40, but that's all right. And that's fine. And I had the privilege of coming to a bit of the end of my story on Monday when I went down to Heartland and took rode with Michelle and two other ladies. And I'm writing it. It was such an amazing day for me because all of my life came together that day. And I woke up on Tuesday morning feeling like a butterfly who for the third or fourth time had come out of its cocoon with great pain and great agony. And I have realized that through all this work that I have done through the years, both teaching and learning, and the Course in Miracles tells us that we're both teachers and students, and we need to give that kind of elasticity to every encounter that we have. We have to learn something and teach something as we go through this life. And as you grow into your older time on Earth, which is only Earth, we're only here on Earth for a short time, I feel that I am just at the beginning of my life. And I have discovered that I'm not old, that time and the things that they put on me from society are not the truth. I haven't had television in my house for the last 7 years, and I haven't had the radio on for the last 2 years, and I haven't missed anything talking about the world keeps on going. It's all about our working through our own emotional traumas and undoing what most of society teaches us and unlearning and getting to the point that God is love and loves us. And when we can get to the point that we realize that God truly loves us just the way we are and has created us these wonderful, amazing beings that we are, and allow that to be in each one and see it in each one, then life takes on a dynamic, and I cannot explain to you the joy, the wonder, and the amazement that I have had just this morning. And I'm going in a little bit different vein than most of the shows go in. But before I opened my eyes this morning, and I'm sleeping in the bed that Michelle slept in Sunday night, I had the windows open, and I heard a blue jay singing soprano, and the counterbalance was a crow singing baritone. It was the most beautiful concert I ever heard. And I got up, and I walked down to the lake, and I saw the most amazing ballet I have ever seen of light coming from the sun reflecting on the water. It is as if my eyes had opened, and it opened Monday in Heartland, sitting in the circle. My whole life came together, and one man, Patrick, reached out to me and told me something that brought it all together. He took my hand. I've been apologizing for getting older. He said to me, and this brings it all together, he said, what we look for in life is the wisdom to live our life from the sweet, soft, loving point of view of God. And as women get older, They either develop it and allow us to be the strong men that we are, or they put us down, but they allow us, because the male is in service to the female, because the female brings forth life. He explained to me in one session, sitting at that table holding my hands, that the very thing I wanted to hear and needed to hear and had not been able to understand. And the other man, who has come through such enormous trauma in the Navy, explained to me my entire life of the Second World War, of people going into service, of going through battle, of having to come back and readjust into life after going through that terrible killing in that war. And I cannot tell you, I'm going to have to write it, how it just all came together. And as I speak to you, I'm speaking through tears, because it is the most marvelous place to come to the place and the realization that God loves us, always watches our back, always gives us what we need at the moment we need it, when we are ready and have gotten all the garbage out of us. And I've got a long way still to go. But it is perfectly okay to be happy and free and live and not have to go through cancer anymore, not have to crawl anymore, and to meet your emotions head on, identify them, move through them, and not be afraid of them. And I had said not too many weeks ago to Michael, I'm not afraid anymore, and that's the truth. And you know, it's perfectly all right to be happy and joyful. It's a wonderful place. It's what Yeshua did. He went to the cross, and he rose again. And that's what I think we're all striving to do. And it's the first time I finally have understood the crucifixion. And it's wonderful to fly. We're all building wings, and it's wonderful to fly. And I just wanted to share my joy and tell Michelle how much I love her. I love her so much. And I love Michael, and I love all the work they're doing, and I am so thankful that they're on Earth. And I love everyone, and I'm not afraid to say I love you. I love you so very deeply. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you, thank you. It's a wonderful testimony. Michelle, are you there?
I'm breathing and crying because I agree. It's a wonderful testimony, and I was kidding and telling Peace how amazing Joanna is in terms of her wisdom coupled with her sweetness and her zest for life is such a wonderful role model, and her spirit is so youthful. It's lovely just to be quietly in her presence, and she has taught me so much in just a short year in terms of, you know, slow down and take a cup of tea here and rest and we'll chat, and that's been a gift. So I'm glad you called in, Joanna. Thank you so much.
Big hug.
I like how the guest room now, Michelle said, you just keep it that way.
Well, thank you for sharing, and thank both of you for making that sharing possible. Is there anything else we can do to support you, Joanna?
There's a movement in this country that's called the Slow Money Movement. And I realize that I've worked my entire life to get to it, and It's going to be quite a big thing, and the coincidences that come together for me. I'm wanting to build a project here in this central part of the United States called Turtle Dove, which is about a place that this sort of teaching comes together, not so much under the way that you're presenting it, but to get it more out into the universe and in a more accepted way. And this slow money movement, which is having a huge conference in Louisville, Kentucky in November, which is a global thing, and the head speaker has all the credentials and is coming in from India and blah, blah, and all of that. But I pulled my act together yesterday and got the phone number and called him up, and I can't believe what happened. But I think that all of this, I think we're going to live long enough, I hope I do, to see the new heaven and the new earth that is just about on the brink of springing forth on this globe that we live on, this planet that we live on. There's been an enormous shift in consciousness. I don't know if it's at the tipping point yet, but I want to hang in there and work, and I want to live to be at least 140 so I'll get to see it. Isn't that fun? Don't you think life is fun? Isn't it okay to have fun?
Well, I think it's certainly okay to have fun, and I think if we had Dale Ellen Hoffman here, of course, he'll hopefully be with us tomorrow, he would say something about how that new heaven is here now, and it's in you. And there isn't any need to be waiting. There is only the need to remove everything unlike it from your system and allow it to express through you. It's trying. It's here. It's now. It's you.
Yes, it actually is. And it's all God business, and we just have to get rid of all of this craziness that we've been taught. So, bless you. Love you. I'm through. I'm finished.
Thank you. And Michelle, any last comments from you or the chat room people before we wrap up for today?
Keith and I have been having a nice talk about all the things. I told him earlier I was writing some questions for Keith based on the conversation, and every time I did, you were talking to a guest answering their question. It was like an oracle. It got to be a little spooky, the connectedness. I was writing the question, and then you started talking about it, first with Patsy and then Julie and Joanna. So it's been a wonderful show. Thank you for calling, Joanna.
Bless you. Love you.
Love you.
Thank you. Bless you. And for everybody who's listening and people who might hear this on the archives, if you hear it before tomorrow, tomorrow we'll be back and we'll have Aramaic Fridays with Dale Ellen Hoffman. And I look forward to touching base with Dale again, hear how he processed things from last week, hear what he's been doing most recently with his first book and toning and seminars that he's preparing. And we invite you all to join us to learn more about yet another aspect of developing, unfolding, and practicing in our lives the wisdom of the ancient teachings, and do what you can to apply this stuff to your life, to remove everything that's less than love. In that process, you'll help give yourself the best year yet of your eternal life, and that will be a blessing to the whole planet. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.